It's Go On Weekly Show time. It's Go On Weekly Show. It's Go On Weekly Show time. And here we go. Here we go. Go On Weekly Show. Here we go. This is better than a general intro without the people that should be in the show in the intro. Go On Weekly Show. Here we go.
Woo. Oh, hang on. Yeah. Are we bobbing?
No? I think we're bobbing. We're bobbing. Hello, everybody. You're right, Charlie Golf. Stormy is still shorter than everybody. Because we maintain consistency on this show.
That's right.
So exactly right. Welcome to you if you're watching on Twitch, and hello to you if you're listening on the podcast. If you are listening on the podcast, twitch.tv/GameOnAuz is where we do this every Wednesday night from 5 o'clock Australian Western Standard Time.
Exactly right, Pete. How are we all doing, guys? How are you feeling, Stormy, after the spicy cough?
So much better. So much better. The reason I can't be there today is because I physically won't be able to make my own way home because poor Charlie Golf is in his last day of isolation. But I'm showing negative now, which is really good.
Oh, that's good.
I was completely unrecognizable last week. I felt like the zombie version of myself. But yeah, heaps better. How are you guys?
I'm doing amazing. I had a great time in Melbourne over the weekend. Got to meet a couple of Goa legends while I was there. DJ Drifter, who's in chat now, got to meet him, and Mikey, one of our writers as well, while I was over in Melbourne. I think I was over there for the ANZ PL Grand Final, which was amazing. The Alienware Arena at Fortress Melbourne, oh my God, it is so good.
I've heard wonderful things.
I would like to extend those wonderful things because it's just, the whole place is just magical. I love it.
Can you sort of walk us through the arena a little bit? Like what Please. Were the things that you, before we get into the bloody good games of the week, thanks to our good friends at Aussie Broadband, who we love so much, thank you, and talk a little bit about what's coming on the show tonight. Like what was your takeaway for a place like that? Do we need one here in Perth?
Yes, without a doubt, yes. And I'm a bit bummed. We talked about it on Nuts and Bolts last week, but I remember Murdoch Uni were going to be building an esports stadium in Perth as part of the uni move into the city. And last week they announced that they're not moving into the city anymore.
In Cairns.
Yeah.
I know a little bit more information about that, but I can't say.
Oh, damn. But either way, I was very disappointed when I heard that news. But yeah, Fortress Melbourne and the Alienware Arena is just magical. Like the seat, there's got to be a couple hundred seats in there.
Yeah.
And just the whole atmosphere when you're watching a LAN event, because I've never been to a LAN event when it comes to esports, and it was just, everybody was popping off, and it was great. You could sit there, you have a chat with everybody in the crowd. There were so many of the World of Tanks players there that I just had a chat with, and yeah, it was magical. Like the players all lined up, five on each side, and they each had a webcam on them and the TV in front of them, so you could see the players.
It hot. Was, amazing. Yeah.
Hot.
Just quickly.
So cool.
Something you absolutely loved, and something that you reckon they could do better. Go.
My God, something that I loved was the atmosphere of it all. Like okay. You cannot. I know every LAN event's probably going to have that, but just the whole atmosphere and like it's a like I said, probably a couple hundred seat arena, but it still felt intimate. Like you were that close to the front of the stage, like to the point where I could hear the players yelling at each other sometimes.
Yeah, when, amazing.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I haven't had enough time to think about a bad thing.
Interesting. Oh, not a bad thing, just something they could improve on.
Something they could improve on. They could have one in Perth. That would improve things for me.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. That is a good answer. That is a really good answer.
But no, it's just really cool. And even in the tavern section, which is just like their normal bar, so not like the arena part of it. It was just really cool in the fact that it had little sections there. You could hire out for $20. You could get half a dozen people sitting around it and play video games for an hour.
Yeah, wicked.
And $20 to me seems nothing. Like my Jacks and Coke there were $12 a pop, which is not, you know, not unheard of, but a little on the expensive side. And two drinks, I would pay that to go and sit around a thing and play drunk Mario Kart or whatever with my mates.
Shit, yeah. That's amazing.
But yes, it was absolutely amazing. I recommend anybody that's in Melbourne, go see it. And because they said they're opening a Sydney one too, didn't they?
Yes, so they are, yeah.
If when that opens in Sydney, check it out.
And shout out to the good people at Wargaming and World of Tanks and ANZPL, who we absolutely love. Who ended up winning the championship?
The North Sydney Sentinels took out their third championship.
Third championship, mm. Eh? Sydney.
Yep. It was a Sydney derby too. They played against the South Sydney Scorpions.
I mean, derby.
No.
Is it a derby
well,
in Sydney?
Me, I
is
don't
it a
know.
Derby or is it a derby in Melbourne?
It's a derby for me.
Oh, like, no, absolutely. I completely agree.
Okay, can I also just say, on the topic of how we pronounce things, is it Game Pass or Games Pass? Because I hear Jim say Games Pass all the time. So if we're having this derby derby conversation, I have to ask well, this as well.
I have an answer.
I was going to say, it's probably me being wrong and I'm just reading what I want to read.
You're both wrong and it's Game Ep Ass. That's what it is. Game Ep Ass. You're welcome. No, it's Game Pass.
Game Pass.
Yeah, okay. There's no S in there.
Well, but there's lots of games though. So it's Games Pass. There's
That's a great point. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Oh, someone needs to put a poll in the chat, I think.
Game
there you go.
Pass Ultimate. Game Pass. Yeah, or it's Game Pass. You're right. It should be Games Pass. Yeah. What the fuck do they think they're doing?
I don't know. Xbox, you're wrong. You need to rename it Games Pass right now.
Thank you, Daz Action, for Game Ass.
Yep.
Appreciate that. Just a reminder for everybody that effectively, the term is game anus.
Yep.
But that's cool. Like game ass, it's kind of cool. We've got some different things coming up a little bit later on the show tonight. So a couple of things we're going to try.
I think we should get stuck into it, eh?
Yeah. So look out for it because we're going to play a new game called Who's That Character, and we'll explain that a little bit later on. And also, Xbox sent me a box. Xbox. More like sex box, am I right?
Oh, they see what you did there.
Yeah. Especially when they send gifts. So we're going to do a little unboxing, little what's in the box a little bit later on down the track. So we'll get to that. But
there are two type of people when you say what's in the box. There's ones that go, what's in the box?
In the box.
And there's the people that go, what's in the box?
I'm the first one because I don't know what the second one is.
From the movie Seven with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman when they find his Brad Pitt's wife's head in the box at the end of it.
Oh, I need to watch this movie. Yeah.
Sorry, I just spoiled the whole movie.
Spoilers. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Box spoilers.
It's an old movie, so I think the moratorium on spoilers is over for that one.
Fair
but
enough.
Yeah, no, like the whole. It's Kevin Spacey plays the bad guy, which is quite appropriate for where he is this time in his career. But it's all about the seven deadly sins. Okay. Yeah.
But so anyway. That's why it's called Seven.
Exactly.
There you go. Does what it says on the box.
That's it.
Let's do it. Bloody good game of the week. Thanks to our friends at Aussie Broadband. What do we got?
So this one's my one. After finally getting back my my headset from, getting a new headset for my VR.
Yep.
And Oculus being the champs they were, gave me a $50 gift card as well to use it. So I bought Zenith with
this
that.
This looks nice.
It's a VR MMO and it is so damn cool. It's so like, the combat in it, I went just like a blade master type person. And so you're walking around and to start with, you don't have your weapon. So when you get into a combat area, you have to put your hands by your side and pick up your swords.
So like, and you're talking like physically put your hands by your side because obviously this is a VR game.
Yeah, that's it. And then when you've got hold of the swords to attack, you literally chop and it's... It's cool, even to the point where you do the crafting for food and whatnot. And the only crafting I've done was part of the tutorial to make a biscuit to give some health back. And you got the ingredients for it. Thank you, Drop Bear, for that sub. Amazing, 20 months.
Oh.
but, yeah, and you just...
I'm making notes. I'll come back to something I just saw.
But yeah, you're making stuff. And so you've got milk, flour, and sugar. And you have to, like, put milk in a saucepan and heat it up to a certain temperature. Put this in your cauldron off to the side with the sugar, and then you get the flour in a frying pan. You have to fry the flour for some reason. I was seeing
that on screen right now. Yeah. So yeah,
that's it. You have to flip it to keep it from catching on fire, and then that goes in.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
For me, the cool thing about this is that like this for me is what I'm hoping for out of virtual reality.
Yep.
Like you know, like an MMO where. Every action that's taking place on screen is a one-to-one action that's taking place in real life. And the thing that that I saw before, which I was like, fuck yeah, that's enough for me to go out there and like actually seriously consider buying VR, is when I saw the avatar climbing the mountain.
Yes. Sorry, that's something I forgot. Virtually anything you can climb. There is a bit of a ceiling in there every now and again that you hit, but it is literally using the touch controllers from the Rift or the Quest or whatever you've got and pulling yourself up.
You shit yourself when you're up there? Being VR?
I did not, no. I cannot speak for other people. But
I'm scared of heights. Yeah. I feel I shit myself.
Did you ever find yourself, because there's a lot of jumping and climbing stuff, did you ever find yourself disorientated at all a little bit?
I did a little bit. One, because I was playing sitting down, which is not the real way to play a VR game, but that's what I started with. And two, so like the left controller, it's got the control stick on it and it's forward and back and left and right strafing. And then the stick on the other one turns you, but in degrees. So instead of being like a nice, smooth sort of turn, it's very jerky. So it's just like all of a sudden you're looking straight ahead and you press right and you're looking like 30 degrees to the right immediately.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So that was a little bit off-putting. But you can also look around and that, wherever you're looking, becomes your forward.
Ariond made a mention in chat saying, so it's a Breath of the Wild clone. And I reckon that's a really good way of summing it up in terms of its, like, artistic design. You know, there are some differences there, obviously. But, like, you could, one for one, this game go make this a Breath of the Wild clone and...
I'm not unhappy with that.
No, neither am I. That sounds amazing. You all right?
But yeah, no, I was just coughing.
Bless you.
Thank you. Good.
Apparently, I sound like Soundwave.
she sounds all right to us.
That's so good. You sound like Soundwave from the Transformers. Laserbeak, eject. Oh, that's fantastic.
I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, take that. That's wicked. You have to say that's your name next time you go to like a Boost Juice and order, by the way. I'm just throwing it out there.
Soundwave.
What's your name? Soundwave.
You know what I've always wanted to do at a Boost Juice? Is what? Like say my name is Spartacus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just see what happens. So some like okay. This is definitely showing some age here. So there's this movie called Spartacus. It was a Kirk Douglas?
Kirk Douglas.
So like we're talking movies that just turned to color old. And, like, there's a famous scene in there where they come for this Roman gladiator, Spartacus, and he stands up and goes, I'm Spartacus. And then the rest of them stand up and go, I'm Spartacus. No, I'm Spartacus.
You know? We should do that where we get a group of people together and go to your Boost Juice.
Yes.
And when they say that, all of us get up one after the other and go, no, I am Spartacus. And that is my Boost Juice. That is so, so wicked. It's cool.
It's right up there with the people that write... Primrose Everdeen on their cup and somebody stands up and goes, I volunteer as tribute. Yeah.
I want to go up to one of them and go, my name is Heisenberg. Now say my name.
I am the one who knocks.
Brilliant, brilliant. So that's Zenith?
Yep, very cool game. Only came out this year, but I'm very much enjoying it. Two problems I had with it. One was the turning, which I've already spoken about. But the second one is I find I can only wear the VR helmet for a couple of hours at a time. And then my face is too sweaty and I have to have a break. But that's probably more about because I've got a Rift S. So that's like second generation VR. I imagine the Quest is a lot better for that sort of stuff.
And you're commenting on the shape of your head. I've got a Rift S shaped head.
I do.
Whatever that means.
All the cool kids will be saying it soon. Yeah. But yes, that's my bloody good game of the week.
What we got, Stormy? Stormy, what's yours?
So my bloody good game of the week is Fall Guys. So for those who don't know, Fall Guys is developed by Mediatonic, and just recently Epic Games like purchased their parent company called Tonic Games Group, and it's now gone free to play. So obviously Fall Guys has been around for a little while now. When it first came out, I know a lot of people got it when it was a free PlayStation Plus game. And now it's free to play. It's on every platform now, and there's crossplay available. Yeah. And in the first 48 hours, they had 20 million players, like since they went free.
Wow,
which is crazy.
I absolutely adore Fall Guys, and I just remember when it first came out, And like it hit, and everybody in Goa was playing it. It's
a really great game. And I think for me personally, when it came to playing the game myself back when it first came out, it was great. But obviously, because there were only very few games, the staying power, I feel like personally for me, wasn't there. Like it just got a little bit same. Since it's gone free to play, I've jumped back into it again and have it now play on my Xbox. And there is so many more games that they've added since then, which are really fun. They've got a Master Chief-esque costume coming, I think, tomorrow for one of the little characters. And, it's just funny how many franchises as well. Like, you know, we talked about Fortnite a couple of times on the podcast, but I'm trying to think of they've got Among Us in there. But the Master Chief one, I know if my friends and I are looking forward to. Super Monkey Ball. All like different themed costumes for your little characters. So for anyone who hasn't played the game before, you start with about 60 people and the end goal is just to be the last one remaining after a set of mini games. So just kind of like probably the worst analogy, but imagine like Squid Game,
But no death, death.
But no death, but you're a cute little bean character, really colorful, very simple controls. You can now like team up. I think you could do it before anyway, but you can basically go in solo and be the last one to win. Or what I've been doing with my friends, they have a team mode. So you party up in a team of four, and basically you don't have to be the first one to win everything. It's just the better that your team performs, the more points you get. So then you can win as a team that way. And even if you are the last person to reach the finish line and the rest of your team does well, you're not eliminated. Like, you're still in it to play like for the next round. And I really like that because it's more of a team effort and it's, you know, you're not stuck there spectating if you just happen to have a really bad game. Like, you're still part of it. And it's been really, really enjoyable.
The thing that shit me about this game early on was that it was actually like in a lot of cases it was quite laggy. They had developed a game which clearly wasn't quite ready because they had a free to play event when they first launched the game and everybody was jumping on it. They still suffered a little bit from long lead times when it came to finding a lobby and matchmaking. So is that how's that going? Did you experience lag? And were there problems matchmaking? Was it all good there? Have they fixed it?
Well, it's actually funny you said that because this is something I discussed with my friends before because we remember those issues quite early on as well. There was matchmaking issues. There was lag issues, just really rockiness with consistency in the way that it just played in general. It's a lot better now. I wouldn't say it's still perfect. Like, I know there's if I'm really nitpicking, there's a few small things, for example, like in the top right-hand corner, it will show how many teams have qualified. And every time I've done that with my team, it's never accurate. So you're kind of just not sure if you have made it or, you know, whatever the case is until the very end. Matchmaking has been very easy. In saying that, they only went free to play within the last week or so. So I'm interested to see what the staying power is going to be like. And now that Epic, have bought Mediatonic, how much more support they'll be receiving now. And I know there were issues before in the past, like things like server issues and things like that too. I'm confident that now, with the help of Epic Games, they might be able to sustain themselves a little bit more. They do have a free and paid battle pass system, as a lot of free online games do. Very similar to the Fortnite one, where basically at different increments you can get a reward, like a costume or like a banner to put under your name. I think the paid one is probably around $15, I think off memory, kind of like Fortnite. And, I think I'm interested to see whether this will keep me engaged as much as it did the first time. Because that's it at the end of the day. Like, it might be really fun in the short burst where everyone else is playing it, and that's why we're finding games faster. But I think only time will tell and see if Epic is going to be able to do something really good with this.
Sure.
Well, I think the good thing about it at the moment as well is because it's had, 2 years to put more games into it. So you got more of a variety of game types that you're going to be able to play, so people aren't going to get as bored as quickly. And let's face it, like, this has basically been everything but a free-to-play game since it launched.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's it was destined for a free-to-play model.
Yeah.
No doubt it was.
Like, it was only on PlayStation primarily, I think, when it first came out. But now you can play it on Xbox, Nintendo Switch, PC, which is obviously on the Epic Games Store. And you can do cross-play, which I've used a bit, and it works really well. The only issue I've had a few people say to me is that some of their progression on one console hasn't carried over to another.
So the cross-progression isn't quite as nice. But, yeah, it's honestly, as a party game, and I really like that you said they've got that team mode now, because the last time I played it, you could team up with, be in a party with people, but if you fell out, then that was it. You just sat there and watch your mates play. So I like that they've got that team ranking now that just makes it a little bit nicer.
We're just getting told that Stormy's coming through with an echo.
Hang on. This is probably why. That's right.
There we go. That's probably why.
Hopefully that solved it.
But we'll find out. Wicked, man. That's cool.
That's my bloody good game of the week.
Bloody good game, Stormy.
Amazing. Pete,
my turn.
It's your turn.
I'm really excited to talk about this because there it is. There he is. Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael, Leonardo. And there we have it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, their brand new side-scrolling adventure. Six-player co-op. This is Shredder's Revenge. And I'm going to tell you guys, the moment that I jumped in on this game last week and got stuck in, I was right back at Vic Park Rec Center, you know, like hammering coins into the four-player, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade machine while Dad was off playing volleyball. And that is all I wanted. It's all I wanted. And it delivers that. And it delivers so much more. So there's a whole heap of new things as they've implemented to evolve the game. You know, players have ultimates that you can use, to power up, and you're seeing some of those on the screen right now. You're not just playing the different turtles anymore. You're playing some of the iconic characters like Casey Jones and Splinter and April O'Neil. And we talked about, you know, the fact that the community was a little bit upset that they had reduced April O'Neil's breast size. I can tell you, you don't even notice it in the game. Like, if that's what you're bloody focusing on in the game, then you stop playing games, you idiot. Piss off. Yep. We don't want you. So it's just brilliant. It's just everything, and it's across everything. Steam, Switch, PS4, Xbox One, Game Pass. It's come out of Tribute Games. So Tribute Games are really well known. They've been around since 2011. They're really well known for, like, 2D platformers and, you know, really cool, funky style animation and 8-bit, you know, style games and so on and so forth. Very pixelated stuff. And so they're former Ubisoft developers. They were just purpose-built for a project like this, and then they've come in with that Ubisoft slickness that they've got, you know, as experience and have gone, we're going to add all of this stuff as well. And as a mad fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but, you know, having grown up with the originals, like the, you know, the 1989, the movies, the original cartoons, I've still got a couple of the episodes on VHS tape sitting at home somewhere. This just brought all of those memories rollicking back, and I'm so thankful that they went to the trouble of building this game because I'm having an absolute ball.
It is amazing. Stormy, have you played this one?
No, I haven't picked it up yet, but I've seen so many of my friends play it and just rave. But I'm like, I will obviously show my age here. I never grew up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I don't have that same nostalgia feeling, but it still looks really fun. Like, anything that's like couch co-op as well as online, like, I'm all for it.
It's on what do they call it? Game Pass.
Game Pass.
So that's where I've been playing. I must admit, straight away, I didn't want to play as any of the turtles. I played as April because I wanted to just see what the differences were in the play types. And I really loved it.
How did you find the size of her breasts? They
obviously weren't good enough because they weren't knocking people out as she jumped up.
Right. Sorry, okay, I'm sorry. Right.
I apologize. That was a joke in bad taste. That's probably appropriate sound effect. The cricket's chirping.
There you go.
No, look. It made no difference. And but I love that each of the characters, like when you play Turtles in Time, because I love that on the Super Nintendo. It was the arcade one, but yep. It was also on the Super Nintendo, and I played that to death. But for the most part, apart from the weapons, the Turtles were the same.
Mm.
But in this one, they're all different. They've all got different stats. Some move quicker, some move slower. I think April moves quicker but has less strength, so she doesn't attack as well. But it's still so goddamn fun.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's fun. Like, yeah. There is so much of this where they've put it through the filter of how can we make this as fun as possible. There's collectibles throughout the game as well that you're picking up along the way. And one thing that I really appreciate, because the arcade version didn't have this back in the day. The developer team behind this has gone, hey, we're going to go all the way back to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the Nintendo Entertainment System, and we're going to draw from everything that we possibly can. So in this, you've got a map as well. And we saw a bit of that map pop up. I don't know if you can try and find it in the YouTube video there, straight. There it is. Okay, so there's the map. So in the original Nintendo Entertainment System, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, this was the playable map that you made your way around, right? So you'd come across secrets and, you know, places that you couldn't quite get to, and you'd have to find your way around it. And, you know, but this, like, you're in the turtle bus. And like I said, just everything about it, it just speaks to me on so many different levels. And you can see tiny little pixelated Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman?
You did.
Jesus Christ, shut up, Pete, you dickhead. Uma Thurman. Uma. Uma.
I was like, what?
Yeah. Uma Thurman. Uma.
But I love it. I love it. And thank you, Reflex, for the cheeky raid. Thank you so much.
I'm a thermos.
Yeah. But I also love in this how, because this map is for the story mode. Yep. And so if you just want to have a chill time going through and doing every little bits and pieces in there. But there's also the arcade mode, which is where it's like the arcade, and you just play level after level after level. And when you die, that's it. Game over. Put another quarter in. And
it's very good. Yeah, it's, very, very good.
Yeah. It took everything that was great about Turtles in Time, put the combos in there, made all the characters different, have the ninja power-ups, and the challenges in each level. Like, the bane of my existence in the challenges is don't take any damage in this level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate that. Yeah. I hate that. But I almost have to go in with, like, a group of people and go, shield me, friends!
We should get this the next time we're all together and play a little bit on stream, because
I'd love that.
We'll have a ball. Yes. And it's like online co-op as well, so if we can get some of the girl crew in and just have some fun. So we'll try and organise that. That'll be good. That's my bloody good game of the week. Shredder's Revenge is out now. Go and check it out. And it worked really well on Xbox Game Pass's cloud service technology as well. So if you've got cloud and a decent internet connection, such as, I don't know, one from Aussie Broadband.
I have heard that they're bloody good broadband.
They are bloody good broadband. That'll help you get that across the line, and you can play it instantly instead of having to download. So that is bloody good game of the week. Thanks to our mates at Aussie Broadband. You little ripper.
So good. So good. But now, I think, what have you got there?
In the box. What's in the box? In the box, open. It could be a game. I don't know. Shit. So this box, it came over from I'm going to call them Sex Box, because they sent us something and it's probably sexy.
I'm just going to move Stormy up to the corner so Pete's got more room to unbox.
Stormy, you're in the corner. Can you actually move Stormy down like a little bit, just a little bit, and a little bit more? Bit more. That's it. There we go. So we can't see straight ahead. So you're going to Stormy. Your face is going to react, and straight, you're going to have hands and everything.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to look this way. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. Brilliant.
So good.
Hey, Pete, right. Why don't you show us what's in the box?
I will, Stormy. I'm really looking forward to it. It's good to see you. Good to see you, Stormy. Great.
Yeah, it's nice to see you too. I've grown in height a little bit.
You really have. So. And your shoulders no longer match your arms, but that's not a big deal. Okay. So let's open said box. Stormy, can I have a little bit of a drum roll, please?
Yeah, let's drum roll the table. Let's go. Great.
Your hands are so manly.
It's so strong. Oh. That's all.
Okay, stop drum roll.
We can stop drum rolling now, hands.
It's a bag.
A bag in the box.
A bag's in the box. Who's that talking?
Must have been Stormy.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a duffel bag. Conscience. It's a duffel bag. Things are always better in duffel bags. Oh, hello. It's heavy. There's stuff in it.
Oh.
So thank you, Stormy. Can you feel that, Stormy? What do you think?
Yeah. Let's have a feel. I'm thinking.
Yep. What are you thinking?
There's something box-like. I'm trying to look at the camera at the same time.
Maybe.
There's something soft, I think, inside, if I had to guess.
Okay.
Something soft and something hard.
It says Xbox. When everyone plays, we all win, which is 100%. Shall we open the bag? Let's open the duffel.
Yeah, let's open the bag.
Oh my god! Oh, guys, piece of shapes! Yeah.
Oh, piece of shapes. Can I have one so I can eat it?
Absolutely. Right now? Absolutely, you can. This I will open it up right now. This will be. I'm really excited. You shut your mouth, Menthonzo. Pizza shapes are the absolute bomb. Your dirty mouth.
If my conscience can tell me when we're putting the shape into the mouth, I'll try and time it.
And now.
Sweet. Yeah, it worked. Oh, wrong hand. Hold on. Wait.
Don't show your hand. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, no. We've got to, like...
You're probably better off bringing like your face down to where your hand is. So it's just out of shot sort of thing, I would say.
Hold on. Okay, hold on.
Even where your microphone is like positioned at the moment is perfect.
It's actually perfect.
All right, I'm just going to have some. Chicken crimpy is a shit show, Menthonzo. What are you talking about? For Christ's sake. All right, let's continue opening what's in here.
What else is in there?
Oh, my God. It's a sexy blanket.
Oh, I told you there was something soft inside.
Blanket, sweatshirt, premium hoodie. It's a hoodie. I'm going to put it on. Holy bullshit. Wow. Hang on. I'm going to take my headphones off.
Straight, get your lovely face in there. Just chuck me in the bottom left corner, I reckon.
I was trying to see how long I could play this out for. I'm sitting here still pulling faces like people can see me.
This is an Xbox hoodie.
Oh,
it's an
wow.
Xbox hoodie! Oh my god!
Oh, it is so soft.
Barbecue shapes and an Xbox hoodie.
Pizza shapes.
Shut up, Pete. there's a Xbox. Beanie. Yep, Xbox beanie.
This is so cool.
This is for the beanie team. Remember we're talking about all wearing beanies? This is perfect.
This is for beanie team. There's a patch.
Iron-on patch?
There's an iron-on patch. Okay.
What is it? I can't see it.
There's V. There's a can of
it
V.
It kind of looks like Handsome Jack a little bit. Like Hang on. I'll show it to the stream.
There's a card. Show it to the viewers. Yeah. Okay. It says.
Well, that's cool.
This is from Xbox, and it says, "While we couldn't see you in person at Xbox Fan Fest, we hope you enjoy this goodie bag and are excited for what's to come over the next 12 months. Love from Xbox ANZ."
Oh, thanks, Xbox.
Thank you, Sexbox. All right.
Yeah. All right.
I'm just going to go to sleep.
Shall we continue the show, Stormy?
You guys want to continue the show? Now with this hoodie like top over the top of my eyes, I feel a little bit
like Palpatine. Mm. I'm getting
come to the dark side. Anyway, let's continue.
Yes.
Thanks, Xbox. That's really nice. This is really cool. This is really sick stuff.
It's so cool, man.
Here you go. You can have the beanie.
Oh. I feel like I've just been knighted.
I knight you.
Top.
Straightjacket Jim. Game pass person. Game pass. Oh,
so good,
man!
This is amazing. This is nice and toasty warm.
I feel like such a baller in this jumper. Like seriously, it's just so thick. It's so thick with two C's. All right, should we move on?
Let's. So, few bits of news happening. So, first one we're going to touch on is there was a story that came up on my Twitter feed during the week about an MMO studio that is using volunteers, and I'm going to use that loosely because some of these people don't sound like volunteers. They, but they're being called volunteers to make their game, and this is for an MMO, a zombie MMO called The Day Before, developed by a mob called Fantastic, F-N-tastic.
Yeah, there's no A in the or the U or whatever it happens to be.
That's it. So what they're doing is they have volunteers, some are paid and some are not paid, that are working on creating this MMO. To me, it kind of – look.
Sorry, can I jump in?
Yeah.
I think it's really important to note that this is currently the most wishlisted game on Steam. Not wishlisted MMO, not wishlisted genre. This is at this point in time, the most wishlisted game on Steam.
Yep.
So just put that into context. And now, sorry, continue. Yeah,
it's there's a couple of things about this. So I look at it and go, okay, unpaid volunteers. And I will say that the devs have said that the people that are the paid volunteers are the one that are working on the coding and the development of the game, and the unpaid volunteers are those that are probably like making skins and stuff like that. So it sounds a little bit to me like a modding community where like when a game releases with mods, Ariond in chat would be able to talk all about that, where they like the modders would go in and they would create stuff. So it sounds a little bit like that. But the way they've termed it is kind of ringing alarm bells with me, because if you list them as volunteers, they're not employees. They don't get benefits. They're not entitled to anything, even a paid volunteer.
Yeah, what's a paid volunteer? Yeah, like, that's like...
The terminology to me sounds like they're trying to avoid labor laws.
It's also described as a shit show.
Yeah, that too.
Stormy. that's a paid volunteer. If you look up paid volunteer... in the dictionary, under P,
doesn't exist.
And then it's there.
Exactly right.
Well, it does now, apparently. And then under there, you read the thing, and it's like, you know, like paid volunteer, and then the description is shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a very
it's dirty.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's dirty.
I think I won't say too much, but there's some discourse that's going around the Dreaming/content creating community at the moment, with regards to, I guess, knowing what you're worth, like as someone who is working to create something for a brand or for a company and things like that. So like, as like unpaid volunteers, like even like if straight saying that, yeah, but like they're just doing the modding, like they're still doing work. Like I don't understand what like.
But modding,
it just sounds really
It sounds icky. And
they're recognized by the company. So for me, the problem I have with this, right, is that if this was an MMO studio and they were like a startup and they weren't making any money, and good luck to them if they ever are going to be anything, then you know, you would come into this as a passionate person who wants to be a part of this, being completely understanding of the fact that these guys aren't making any money. They're a startup. There's nothing going on. There's no revenue coming in. They're probably pre-rev anyway. And it's It's like, I'm going to put my time and effort into this, knowing that no one's getting paid and that we just want to have a fair go at trying to build something cool. That, to see that this is the most wishlisted game on Steam is a commitment from a community ready to pump a shit ton of money into this game. You know what I mean? So this is the thing where they've got proof of concept to be able to go to investors or what, you know, whatever it happens to be, to go wherever they need to go to get money, to say, we're the most wishlisted game on Steam. Can you click that link there, please? Like, there's a link for the most wishlisted game on Steam the day before. Does it show numbers? What does it mean when they're the most wishlisted game? Can you click on it and just...
It doesn't...
Can you sort by in that top right-hand corner?
It kind of looks... Well, it's sort by relevance at the moment.
Love how Starfield's, like, in the top thing.
Where is Star...
It's, like, four down. Oh, yeah, five, I see it. It's fifth.
And Silksong's up
there. That's quite big. I didn't think that the day before was going to be higher wishlisted than Starfield.
Click on the day before. Show me that. What is that?
I've said Silksong now too, so Pav's going to appear.
If Pav appears, I'll eat that beanie. If he does, I will eat that beanie. I shit you not.
Right, put a few pizza shapes in it, you'll be all right.
I was going to say Silksong. You've got to say Hollow Knight Silksong. And you've got to say that three times looking into a mirror and then turn around. And Pav appears. All right. Open World MMO Survival... It's got to have numbers somewhere. Go down.
Hang on. Let me do this, Pete. Make it a bit easier.
Thanks. I'm getting old.
Me too.
Go down.
I generally don't think that they release that sort of information, I don't think.
But if it's the most wishlisted game on Steam, there's got to be numbers somewhere.
Steam probably like just has the chart. So this is like top wish lists. So they'll just show the top. I don't think they'll show us numbers. But yeah, It's crazy to me that a game this anticipated can't... And, like, it's still a year off. Like, the release date on that was March 2023. It staggers me that you've got volunteer labour. And I probably did modders an injustice there, comparing the unpaid volunteers to modders, because a game will release and it'll have modding tools in there. And people will use them. Like Counter-Strike started as a Half-Life mod. That's so big now, it's its own game. And like Dota was the same. Dota was a Warcraft 3 mod. So there are so much modding tools out there that they can use. But this isn't modding. This is letting people design stuff and put it into the game. And I'd be very interested to see any sort of agreements that they sign to say, do they get free rein on what they want to create? Within reason, of course. You don't want somebody with all penises suddenly showing up with a skin like that in a map.
Or do you?
Yeah. maybe that's your thing.
Know. Maybe it's your thing.
Yeah. Yep. But just the fact that they're not just that they're unpaid volunteers, which for the most part volunteers are generally unpaid.
Well, and let me be open and honest about something, because we are that at Goa. We have volunteers. In fact, we're all volunteers, right, to a degree. Like we you know, there's no money, like there's a big team that works on Game on Australia, and the brand is shared amongst the team, and we're all working towards a common goal, but we're all volunteers. But that open, honest conversation is had at the beginning of coming on board. And it's a part of a much larger conversation about, hey, we get to, you know, this, then we all share in the glory. Like that's, you know, it's a this here, the day before, I'm just looking on a website called SteamDB, steamdb.info, and it's very accurate info around followers. Okay, so at this point in time, at right now, as of June 28, it has 177,060 followers. Now, is there a price on the day before?
I don't think so. Just a release date. It's still 9 months off, so it's still a fair way out there.
Say, for example, this is a single player MMO. Say, for example, we're getting in at, I don't know, 70, 80 bucks. Let's go 80 bucks. Yeah. Okay? Even if they convert 100,000 of those followers, which is not out of the question, from $177,000. Like $80, that's, what's that? Mm. And $8, that's $800,000. That's $8 million. Mm. That's $8 million. So, yeah.
It's all, look, and there's a lot of costs involved in getting an MMO off the ground, which is why they're usually backed by big studios, because there has to be some big capital that gets put in, because they don't start making money, well, any game really, until they're released.
Yep.
But yeah, this, it's the terminology about their workers being volunteers. It screams to me, especially because I think this is a Californian studio.
That makes it even worse.
So it sounds to me a lot like they're trying to get around some labor laws and go, oh, look, they're not employed by us. They're volunteers, but you pay them. Yeah, we just give them money every now and then, keep them happy. But yeah, it just
doesn't sit right, does it?
No, it doesn't. No matter how you frame it.
When they're saying they don't give them money every now and again, they give them, isn't it like they get in-game currency and like some other sort of custom shit?
Actually don't know.
I mean, you can't put food on the table with that stuff, guys. And this is we've spoken about this before. This is a lesson for all streamers and creators to just remember that people may send you shit, but you can't feed your family with it.
Yep.
Well, actually, other than Xbox. Absolutely. Because Xbox sent pizza shapes and fuck, I'm feeding my family with that shit. I'll tell you now. I'm having a ball tonight. This is great. I'm having a great time. We're having a great time. Mm.
But yeah, it just, I don't know how much more I have about that, but it just, something about this feels icky. And something about this feels like trying to get around labor laws.
I felt the same.
The point of this, mate, is the more we talk about stuff like this, the more it's brought to light. So thank you for bringing it.
Mm.
Should we have a bit of a laugh about something really quick? Because I'm conscious of time. We've got like 10 minutes left in the show. So just really quickly, we just got to talk about this because it's just funny. And that's the Pokemon cards, dude.
Yep. Okay. So this popped up on my feed, and it just so happened. It was a little while after I popped into Good Game here in Perth, who's done a couple of things, thrown some giveaways our way in the past. And I remember just going in there on a Tuesday night of all nights, and it was going off. Mm. And that's all like tabletop and card stuff. And then this popped up on my Twitter feed. Might have to move, Stormy. Sorry.
Oh, all right. Well, you can see everything, can't you? Yeah.
But basically, this guy has rocked up to a Pokemon card game tournament with giant cards. Now, for those of you that have seen them, they're like the size of playing cards that they get for people that can't see very well, and they need like big text. My granddad had some of those cards, and this is the size they are. And apparently, like, he went to the judges. And they've gone, look, all the cards are legit. Let's just let him play. And like,
because the thing is, like, being, they'd be replicated cards. Can you do me a favor and just Google oversized Pokemon trading cards and just see if you can actually buy or oversized official Pokemon trading cards and just see if you can actually purchase official oversized card sets, yep. Pokemon Center official site?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, but this isn't the same, though. These are like specialty ones, or when I did those first partner cards, like I think the ones you're looking at the moment.
Well, like, what did that have?
All the energy cards, like, in that jumbo but size that's as what well.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I mean, that looks legit, doesn't it?
I played a bit of, there was a Star Wars collectible card game as a kid. I played a lot of that. And so you have to have the official cards. You can't just print off a photocopy of a card and say, I'm going to use this in the tournament. They have to be the real legit card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I would say that the Pokemon cards are exactly the same as well. And somehow at some point they've released a set where it's these huge ass cards, and I just love that he's rocked up and gone, I'm going to play with these.
I just think, like, because they just thinking about what would have had to have taken place with the judges, like, in the, you know, he can't play with those cards. Can he? Check the rule book. No, it looks like he can. They would have had to have gone through every single one of those cards to make sure that each and every one of those, the information in them was legit.
Yeah,
and he hadn't fucked around with them. And I take my hat off to you, sir. I just think that is a wonderfully funny and hilarious thing. And this is a man who looks at life a little bit differently, and yeah. I can appreciate that.
And look at he's got a mask on, but you can tell he's got the biggest smiling grin on his face.
Shit, yeah. Shit, yeah.
But, you know, it reminds me of, like, Air Bud, the movie Air Bud. Like,
Air Bud, now we're going
They
back.
Bring a dog along to play basketball, and the judges go, there's no rule against it. And you're sitting there going, wait,
so
what?
True.
But how is he going to bounce the ball? Is he going to just like bite it? That's travel. He hasn't been bouncing it.
That's gold. That is absolute gold.
But yeah, no, it was just a bit of fun. And I just love seeing that. Because like, we do like our tabletops here as well. Zulu, editor-in-chief, quite often gets it. Like he's published for Call of Cthulhu.
He has. He's writing their campaigns.
Yeah.
Big legend.
So we do like a bit of that around the job. But I know we're a little bit conscious of time, and especially we got the last one we got to talk about is the big one. Because there was a Nintendo Direct Mini Partnership Showcase. So this was not Nintendo made games, but just a whole heap of Nintendo games that were coming to the Switch. Some of the big ones there, Monster Hunter Rise, Sunbreak, Nier Automata, Pac-Man World was getting a re-release to the Switch. There was Mario and Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, which is being made by Ubisoft, Sonic Frontiers, Minecraft Legends, Dragon Quest Portal, and Persona 3, 4, and 5. And I'm particularly interested in Persona 3, 4, and 5 because when that got announced at the last Xbox Showcase, there were a lot of PlayStation fans that jumped up and down and said, Sony, why are you letting Microsoft take Persona away from you? This is a great title for you. But I haven't heard any of that when it said it was coming to Switch. And, you know, like it said on the Xbox bag, gaming for everyone sort of thing. Yeah. Yep. And that's what...
Also, sorry, I was going to say, you can't forget Monkey Island.
Monkey Island. Inferno's in chat. He's waiting. He's the new Pav. Inferno's the new Pav.
We didn't even mention Monkey Island and he appeared.
He was just there. Yeah.
Anticipating it. Say Monkey Island. Yeah.
I'm really looking forward. Like, I didn't play Monkey Island back in the day, but I loved all those point-and-click adventure games, especially the LucasArts ones. Yeah, like, yeah. I played Sam & Max, always loved Sam & Max. And, like, even before that, the Police Quest and Space Quest games, because they were sort of point-and-click as well.
I mean, fair play to them. The thing that I take away from this is that they're all big names. They're all big name games, whether they're remakes or remasters or just, you know, coming to Switch. That is Nintendo, you know, beefing out its catalog a little bit more. So
they had some nice indie games. Sorry, well, I mean, like smaller games as well. Like, I just want to make a special mention to Blunk, which is
Blunk.
Like very
What's Blunk. Can you bring Blunk up?
It looks gorgeous, and the storyline, the story's done with no dialogue. I think the trailer speaks for itself. I feel like it would be a shame not to mention
Blanc. Right.
Blanc, yeah. Apparently you were saying it wrong, Stormy. Now Pete.
You said Blanc.
No, she said Blanc.
I heard you say Blanc. I'm going to go through the tape.
Is this just tomato? Why are you picking on me?
I'm not picking on you. It's just when you say Blunk, I see B-L-U-N-K.
Is it not Blunk?
It's Blanc. Like, it's like a Sauvignon Blanc. Blanc.
Yeah, yeah, Sauvignon Blanc.
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 It's white in French. Okay.
You can't say the N and the C. You've got to say Blanc. Blanc.
I'm never saying it again, but have a look at this. This just looks really cute. I haven't looked into who's made it, but probably one of my favourite trailers, I think, from the Direct Mini.
I can't remember if it was co-op or just you swap between...
It is co-op. It is, yeah. I think you could do both. I think you could do single player and co-op. Mm. Well, this just looks gorgeous.
It does look gorgeous. Even the music and everything, the way it's come together. This is a beautiful looking game.
Like, I know we mentioned a lot of, like, bigger titles and stuff, but I feel like it would be a shame not to mention this one.
Look at him.
I think it just looks different and cute. I love the art style, and the concept of it is really cute as well. So, is there a date?
This is giving me. The emotional tale of a wolf cub and fawn. hate myself for not knowing this because I played the hell out of it. It's a game. It's Hollow Knight esque.
Ori.
Thank you. This is giving Ori. This is giving me Ori and the Blind Forest vibes. Not so much the obviously the aesthetic of what we're looking at, but the music.
Yeah, and the music and a little in the bit background. Of the art style, because like both the little characters you got have those floppy ears like Ori did.
I love, yeah it's true. I love how the gameplay is set in this art style. This is beautiful.
I'm just looking up who made it.
Whoever they are, Stormy, I want to make love to them. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that they're doing here. Incredible
journey. It does look incredible. One, and like we were talking a bit before the show about this, and I wonder for me how much February 2023 is the release date in the trailer.
Gearbox is publishing it.
But like,
that says a lot.
In fairness, this is a new title, but after my rant, was it last week or the week before about?
It was last week.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm still recovering.
I've had a couple of rants, and yeah, it's still in my head, but
still fresh.
That's it. But it's just like the amount of remakes and re-releases that we get, I would just like to see something new. And a lot of these, like Monster Hunter, although at least Sunbreak is a new game, but and it's coming to a lot of different things. Nier Automata, though, is something that's on other systems.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Mega Man Battle Network Legacy was like a collection of the Mega Man Battle Network games, which I think were Game Boy Advance.
Mega Man Battle Network Legacy sounds like how can we fit as many words into the title of the game? As possible.
Yeah, pretty much.
I thought the exact same thing as soon as you said it the first time. Yeah. What and a even, mouthful.
Yeah. Pac-Man World is a remake of an older game as well. Return to Monkey Island's a sequel, but it's been long enough that I'm willing to forgive that one.
Yeah.
But even Sonic Frontiers is something that's been announced on a lot of different things. So other than saying, yeah, it's coming to Switch, I'd would have rather have given some other indie games a bit more of a highlight,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah.
And, you know, Minecraft Legend, Portal Collection, Persona 3, 4, and 5, you know, they're worth announcing, but in what was a 20-minute direct, I would have rather have seen some other games get some highlights.
Yeah, sure.
I agree.
That's just another little mini rant about that. But we got another game to play, Pete.
Yeah, we got another game. Look, really quickly, because we are shoving things into the show for a sake of time. I kind of feel like, do I play the game or do we hold the game for next week?
Because we can always hold it. Yeah, it's getting a little bit late, and we've still got a big question to get through.
Yeah, let's get into the big question. We'll hold the game all for next week because the game's not necessarily tied to anyone or thing. So it's something that we can. But it's going to be. So I just want to throw this out there for you listening. If you join the Twitch show, you'll be able to play this game. But Twitch chat, we've come up with a fun game around cosplaying using only the items in the factory. So the place that we now do our shows out of, it's called the Goa Games Factory, but it also takes place in my brother's plumbing factory. And there's a lot of crazy random shit in here. And each week, what we're going to do is we're going to pick a character, mystery character, and one of us is going to cosplay using only the stuff we can find in this factory as that character. So we'll kick that off from next week. So here's a big question, and then we'll bugger off.
That's it. Daz, Pete turned into Mario a few weeks ago. You can go check out the clips.
Oh, yes. That is such a good clip.
But yeah, so there's a game that's coming to the Switch that I've been looking forward to for a long time now. I loved it. I think it got announced in Summer Games Fest last year, but I remember watching some of the lead up to it, and Metal Slug got like a turn-based combo.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I remember thinking as soon as I saw that, gee, I wish they'd remake Advance Wars.
Right.
And then like a couple of days later in the Nintendo Showcase, Advance Wars 1 and 2, which were originally Game Boy Advance games, were getting a release in a Reboot Camp collection for the Switch. So straight away, pre-ordered. It was going to come out December last year. Got pushed back to April this year, and now it's TBA. And in Nintendo's financial stuff, it's just still TBA, not even a 2022 release date. So when I saw that and didn't hear anything in the Nintendo Direct, I kind of went, this could make a good big question. What game has disappeared from view that you're really looking forward to? Because I really want to play Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp.
Yeah, got you. Stormy, I don't know if you've got one. Have you got one?
I've got one that definitely lines up with your question, and then a few others that were announced that just didn't get given a date. So I'm like, so when's it coming? But when's the last time we saw Avowed?
We saw what? Avowed?
Avowed. Exactly. My point is proven.
Hang on. Avowed? Avowed as in V-O-W-E-D? Avowed. Or no, Avowed?
That's what I thought as well. Ivald.
Ivald.
I-V-A-L-D. Okay. I think it's Avowed.
No,
A-V-O-W-E-D.
A-V-O-W-E-D.
Avowed. Right. Right, like that one. Yes. Okay.
It's Blanc.
Blanc. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
So Avowed. Now,
in all fairness, I don't think this one was actually given a date, but when it was announced last year, I don't know, but I have not seen anything about it since then.
Yeah,
it's just
kind
of disappeared.
Yeah, no, great point. Daz Action, the vocabulary is on point today. It's just that Stormy's still getting over COVID. So I think the blocking of the nasal passages makes it a bit hard. Infernox is State of Decay 3, Drop Bear with Hogwarts Legacy, both great, great pitches. But Avowed. Can you bring up Avowed? Because I haven't seen this before. Can we have a look at the trailer?
So this is by Obsidian. It's like a first-person RPG. You can have a little listen. I'll shut up.
I vaguely sort of... I do like that opening.
We have always known war. Obsidian Entertainment.
You've got to do that, like the... We have always known war.
You're right, sorry.
I just don't have enough timbre in my voice.
I got to try and like describe this for listeners.
That's right.
On the podcast. Arrows that are lit with fire going through the clouds and going through more clouds and more clouds and now past a big statue and more clouds and we're still following one particular arrow and this arrow is going to land and it's hitting that guy in the chest. It hit someone in the chest.
Hit a skeleton in the chest.
A skeleton, an armored skeleton.
It hit an armored skeleton and then it kept going through the earth and now it's going into an underground area and now it's in some really crazy underground area and a guy just pulled a sword and now we're playing his character and in the right hand's a sword and in the left hand he did a rune and now his left hand is on purple fire.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Hexen. Do you ever remember that?
I do remember Hexen.
Because like that was like a first-person shooter and you'd run around and one hand... You could, like, shoot magic out of.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that reminded
me of. Hexen was fucking wicked. We need more Hexen. That's what we need.
Daz Action says, the new Perfect Dark, we had an announcement. Is it 2 years ago for the announcement?
Really, 2 years ago.
Piss off. Are you serious? Wow.
I would like to know more about that. You know another one? Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah. Where's that?
Yeah.
Jacob Brantle. Hey, y'all. How are you? We're good. Thank you, bro. It is lovely to have you here. Welcome to the show.
A few of the other games that I mentioned that didn't technically have a release date, but just got announced with no date. New Spider-Man, new Wolverine.
Yep.
The Indiana Jones game. What was the other one? There's another one I had on my list. And there's an indie like game called Witchbrook that's on Steam. Which is very much like Stardew Valley vibes, but except like potions and alchemy and all that kind of fun stuff. That's been in the works for I feel like it's ages now, but they don't have a release date just yet.
I've got two.
Yep.
Cyberpunk 2077 and Starfield. When they're ready to release those games, feel free to let us know. That'd be great.
Poor Cyberpunk.
I'm going to get us in trouble with a lot of games companies at some point.
No, look, Cyberpunk brought it on itself. Like, yeah, the state they released that game, I know they had to do something, but the state they released that game in
was
shocking.
In Western Australia, New South Wales, and pissed. That's the state that they released those games in, that particular game, and Starfield, whenever you guys are ready to take it out of early access, we're here for it.
Starfield isn't in early access yet.
What's it in?
It's not even released yet.
Well, there you go.
It's fucking been delayed till next year.
Well, that makes it even worse.
That was the one we just... Oh, sorry. Starfield was just the one we saw the trailer for.
Starfield.
Yeah.
No.
Was it? What was the other one you were talking
about? No, it wasn't.
Was it? That's what
I was
talking
about. No. Starfield wasn't the one that we saw the trailer for last week. Was it last week?
Yeah.
We're talking about Starfield. No, because that was...
That's a No Man's Sky.
Yeah, they released.
Oh
the
shit! No, I'm not thinking of
it.
Starfield. Hang on, Starfield's not what I'm thinking of. Maybe it is Starfield. I don't know. How long has Starfield been in development for?
A while. I don't know. I don't.
Star Citizen. Oh, sorry, Star it's Citizen. Star Citizen.
Oh, here we go.
Shut up, Pete. Shut your mouth. Wow, God.
I don't think Anthem 2 was announced dropping. I really liked Anthem, but there was just too many goddamn loading screens.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Yeah.
But, can I also say, this is a really random one to throw in and just a random piece of news, because I love Fallout and I know it's going to be a long time before we see another Fallout game.
Yeah, yeah.
But these people have actually created, and it's not official, a full DLC mod for Fallout 4 called Fallout London, and there's a trailer out for it. Sick. So if anything's going to fulfill my Fallout cravings, it will be that.
Well, there you go. Check that one
We'd
out.
We'd love to see that. But yeah, so that's our big question. Let us know on socials, on comments, on
reach out to us.
At me Twitter.
If you go to our new website, the all new GameOnOS.com, which we've had 3 weeks of it now being live, and I've been doing some analytics tracking on it and stuff, and having a look, and mate, people are coming to the new website. Mwah. They're coming to say hello. Mwah. They're subscribing to the new website and dropping their email and saying, we want to hear more from you. Mwah. So thank you all so much. It is wonderful to see you guys and in droves. So really appreciate all of the fresh faces, the fresh eyes, and all of the return visitors as well coming to GameOnOz.com. And yes, you will be getting your EDMs. They'll be coming out very, very soon, your newsletters. And just again, Digital Hitman Dev Team. Mwah. Beautiful. Beautiful thing. Beautiful things. Beautiful stuff.
Awesome.
I'm so happy. Oh, God. Okay. Is that it?
I think that's it. Go stick around for Nuts and Bolts. Stick around to the end of Nuts and Bolts. We've got an announcement for the future of the show.
You've
got to stay tuned to find out what that is.
Go and check out GameOnOz.com. Drop your email in the subs. Be a part of the newsletter and all that sort of stuff. And a big shout out to our good friends at Aussie Broadband. Bloody good broadband.
Yeah.
All right, Stormy, we'll see you in here next week.
I'll see you here next week for sure.
All right, rock and roll.
Bye.